truly leaving no one behind, ensuring sexual and reproductive health and rights for all in Nepal. Introduction. In 2015, Nepal was amongst the 193 governments globally that adopted the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and its 17 Sustainable Development Goals SDGs. Note reference, 1. This development provides new advocacy opportunities for sexual and reproductive health and rights. SRHR, a critical issue in Nepal. SRHR is covered in several goals and targets of the 2030 Agenda, the new Universal Global Development Framework to measure global progress on social, economic, and environmental dimensions, which replaced the Millennium Development Goals MDGs. Note reference, 2. Note reference, 3. The inclusion of various aspects of SRHR in the SDGs is crucial because it will serve as a benchmark for the next 15 years in improving access to critical services, information, and promoting individual autonomy. Note reference, 4. Why SRHR? Sexual and reproductive and rights SRHR are intrinsic human rights, encompassing respect for bodily integrity, the right to choose one's partner, the right to decide on sexual relations without coercion, intimidation, violence, and discrimination, and having autonomy on when and how many to have children. Note reference, 5. SRHR also includes the right to life with access to information and non-discriminatory services that are available and accessible. Note reference, 6. Denying this. Page 2. Right to people represents a complete failure of a society and a governing body to understand and respect the essence of life. Quote, the full achievement of SRHR for all is vital in achieving the global development agenda and in creating the world that is just, equitable, and inclusive. Ensuring SRHR of all individuals has many positive impacts on individual, families, societies, communities, and the nation as a whole. It not only saves lives, but empowers people to make informed decisions. End of quote. The full achievement of SRHR for all is vital in achieving the global development agenda and in creating the world that is just, equitable, and inclusive. Note reference, 7. Ensuring SRHR of all individuals has many positive impacts on individual, families, societies, communities, and the nation as a whole. It not only saves lives, but empowers people to make informed decisions. This also contributes to significant economic gains. It has shown to improve productivity and increase rates of education, which lead to greater economic growth. Note reference, 8. Moreover, sexual and reproductive rights are critical components of gender equality. Note reference, 9. When women and girls do not have full access to SRHR, their ability to contribute economically, socially, and politically to their communities is severely constrained. SRHR issues in Nepal. Despite Nepal being in a decade-long armed conflict and its political instability, Nepal was able to make significant progress in achieving MDG 5, on improving maternal health. For MDG Target 5A, reduce maternal mortality by 3/4 between 1990 and 2015, Nepal was able to make great strides in reducing maternal mortality ratio MMR from 850 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births in 1990 to 170 in 2013. Note reference, 10. The main reasons for maternal death in Nepal is postpartum hemorrhage, followed by preeclampsia and eclampsia, abortion complications, obstructed labor, direct causes, and puerperal sepsis. Note reference, 11. Half of the deliveries also occur at home without a skilled birth attendant. Note reference, 12. These issues were addressed by various government-aided programs and policies meant to assure the availability of services for women's maternal and reproductive health, such as the Maternal Incentive Scheme 2005, Safe Delivery Scheme Program 2006, and the Antenatal Initiative Program 2011. Additionally, under a policy on delivery by skills birth attendants SBA, an estimated 4,500 SBAs were trained from 2006 to 2013, resulting in an increase in skilled birth attendants from 19% in 2005 to 50% in mid-2013. Note reference, 13. However, although Nepal was able to reduce MMR considerably, disparities among age groups and social groups exist and needs to be addressed. MMR is lowest among women aged page 3. 20 to 34 years old and highest among 35 and under 20 years old. Among the social groups, Muslims 318 have the highest rate of MR, followed by Madhashi 307 and Dalits 273. Jainajatai 207, Brahmins / Kshatriyas 182 and Newars 105 have the lowest MR. Note reference, 14. For Target 5B, achieve universal access to reproductive health by 2015, Nepal was able to make progress in most of the indicators: reducing adolescent birth rate, providing antenatal care coverage, achieving CPR, and unmet need for family planning. The adolescent birth has decreased from 110 per 1,000 in 2000 to 70 per 1,000 in 2015. However, the data varies among development regions. East 66 and West 75 have lower adolescent birth rates than the Central 88, Midwestern 95 and Far Western 93 development regions. Note reference, 15. This could be due to inadequate implementation of progressive laws on child marriage. Child marriage has been illegal since 1963 in Nepal, and the minimum age of marriage for both women and male is 20 under Nepalese law. Nevertheless, according to Human Rights Watch, the government of Nepal is not taking significant steps to end child marriage, which has lifelong ramifications in the lives of boys and girls. Note reference, 16. Antenatal care coverage ANC increased from 48.5% in 2000 to 73.7% in 2005 and to 85% in 2011. Note reference, 17. Programs like the Antenatal Initiative Program 2011 provided incentives for mothers to complete 4 antenatal care visits, deliver in a health facility, and attend 1 postnatal care. However, this program lacked consistency, as in 2011, only about half of the mothers who made the first ANC visit made the fourth visit. Note reference, 18. Moreover, the data indicated disparity across development regions and mothers' educational status. Note reference, 19. The contraceptive prevalence rate CPR and the unmet need for family planning made the least progress. The CPR was stagnant in the periods 2009-10, 2010-11, and 2011-12. It was 43%, 44%, and 43% respectively. CPR varies significantly between districts that are remotely situated and those that are more advantaged with easy access to facilities. Note reference, 20. Likewise, the data for unmet need for family planning indicates variation between regions, with the lowest unmet need being among women residing in the hills at 41%, compared with women residing in the western region at 47.8%. As well, unmet need is highest among women aged 15 to 24 years old at 41.5%, indicating that adolescent and young people are the ones with unmet need for family planning. Note reference, 21. CPR is a key indicator in monitoring and evaluating the government's family planning programs, and an assessment on why these are not working needs to be done. Perhaps a key reason is that the availability and accessibility of SRHR services remains a constraint. Many communities are often unaware of the above-mentioned initiatives due to lack of information dissemination. Health facilities are not always available where populations are concentrated, and it may take hours or even days to reach health facility. Note reference, 22. Quality is also an issue, as in many healthcare facilities, there are not enough capable staff. Page 4. To deliver maternity services, nor are there enough frontline health workers to provide 24/7 services. Moreover, frequent power cuts and inadequate equipment and drugs means that the service may be barely functional. Additionally, most government's initiatives have focused on reproductive health and rights, and put less emphasis on sexual health and sexual rights. A few issues like uterine prolapse, obstetric fistula, safe abortion, and Shahapati have been neglected. Uterine prolapse and obstetric fistula are major examples of maternal morbidity in Nepal. Note reference, 23. Uterine prolapse affects 10% of Nepalese women. Note reference, 24. And is a result of overwork after delivery, insufficient recovery time between pregnancies, and inadequate child spacing, pregnancy at a young age, and demanding labor during pregnancy. Note reference, 25. Women with uterine prolapse are stigmatized as they are considered impure, and hence, many fear accessing healthcare. Note reference, 26. The 2007 study by the Center for Agroecology and Development reported that in Nepal, about 32% did not tell anyone about their condition. Of these, 66% cited embarrassment as the reason for their silence, while 10% believed it was a normal condition for a woman's uterus. Note reference, 27. Likewise, obstetric fistula affects women physically, socially, and emotionally, as women face isolation and humiliation from family and friends. Currently, 4,362 women are living with obstetric fistula and there are 200,400 new cases in Nepal every year. Note reference, 28. While obstetric fistula treatment has a 90% success rate, many women fail to attain services as they lack the information that it can be treated. One of the ways to prevent these two conditions is to discourage child marriage and adolescent pregnancy. Adolescent mothers' pelvises are underdeveloped, and the risk of fistula in girls aged 10 to 14 is estimated to be as high as 88%. Note reference, 29. The government of Nepal is making progress in laws and policies to assure availability and accessibility of abortion services. In 2016, the government of Nepal drafted a directive for free safe abortion services, although data on the implementation still needs to be gathered on its effectiveness. Additionally, the Reproductive Health Bill has been drafted and is in a process of being approved by the parliamentarians. Nevertheless, challenges still remain. Even though abortion has been legalized since 2002, unsafe abortion remains an issue as it remains one of the reasons for high MMR. One of main issues seems to be the social acceptability of abortion. In many communities, abortion is considered as killing and is a taboo. Many women are stigmatized from society for having an abortion and face various ramifications for attaining the services like exclusion from any cultural or festivals, alienation, and insults. Note reference, 30. In some cases, the healthcare providers have an unfriendly attitude towards women who are seeking abortion, which also leads to women seeking services from unregistered healthcare centers or buying abortion pills without any prescription or seeking the counsel. Note reference, 31. Another issue that has been neglected by the government is shahapati, a harmful practice that affects women and girls wherein women and girls, page 5, are kept in isolation sheds during their menstruation and childbirth. This stems from the harmful belief that women are considered impure and untouchable during these periods, and hence are not allowed to touch anything or anyone. Due to lack of access or knowledge about products, such as sanitary pads, many women use reusable pads, which requires a clean source of water to wash, and which is not available during their menses. Additionally, after childbirth, women are required to stay in the shed, unwashed for 12 days after delivery until a purifying ceremony and rite is performed, preventing them from being able to access the postnatal care services they need. Note reference, 32. This tradition not only isolates women, but affects their mental health, nutrition, and hygiene. Note reference, 33. It also puts women and girls at risk of attack from wild animals and sexual violence. Moreover, this practice violates women and girls' SRHR, as it views women's bodies as unclean and devalues them. It leads ultimately to a wider disregard of women and girls. Note reference, 34. And ultimately, to gender inequality. This ritual is very prevalent in rural areas, with 95% women following it in Akam district, for example. Note reference, 35. While the government of Nepal has banned this harmful practice since 2005, there has not been a single case of punishment, fine, or reprimanding of perpetrators. Note reference, 36. Government action for the implementation of SDGs. Nepal has made progress in incorporating the SDGs in its 14th national plan for 3 years and have identified priorities areas. There are two committees, the Steering Committee and the Implementation and Monitoring Committee, who are overseeing the implementation process of SDGs in Nepal. Additionally, in relation to SRHR, the new constitution itself has guaranteed this, stating, Every woman has a right to safe motherhood and reproductive health. Note reference, 37. While the new constitution does not specifically say reproductive and sexual rights, one of the main progress in this front is the recognition of LGBTI rights in the new constitution. Note reference, 38. Nevertheless, there are gaps. While the government has developed a comprehensive sexuality education policy framework, it only addresses the health aspect, and not delivered its following a life cycle approach and rights-based comprehensive sexuality education CSC. Moreover, scarcity of trained teachers for CSC is a big issue. Note reference, 39. Barriers in achieving SRHR and the SDGs. There are three main barriers to achieve SRHR and the SDGs in Nepal: political instability and lack of accountability, the uneven implementation of existing policies, and inadequate financing for SRHR. These barriers are interlinked to one another. Political instability and lack of accountability. After a decade-long armed conflict, an interim constitution was adopted in 2007, but Nepal only promulgated the new constitution in September 2015. Nepal remains politically unstable. Since 1990, no government has completed its full term of 5 years as a prime minister. Note reference, 40. And Nepal has just inaugurated its 25th prime minister in its 26 years of democracy. Note reference, 41. In 2016, Nepal has changed its government for the ninth time in the last 8 years, and there is a huge possibility of seeing another change in the page 6. Government in the near future. Note reference, 42. These frequent changes in governments hinder the country's development and economic growth, suppressing agricultural activity, and undermining the expansion of service sectors like tourism and finance. With the recent earthquakes, these have reduced the GDP growth rate to 3% in 2015. Note reference, 43. Annually, about 300,000 Nepali men, women, and youth migrate for work, driven by unemployment. Additionally, prioritization of issues changes according to the government in power, which leads to lack of implementation of existing policies and laws, and lack of government commitment and political will. Frequent changes in government thus diminish accountability, as the question arises on who to hold accountable. To achieve the goals and targets set in achieving SDGs, political stability is indispensable. Quote, frequent changes in government thus diminish accountability, as the question arises on who to hold accountable. To achieve the goals and targets set in achieving SDGs, political stability is indispensable. End of quote. Implementation of existing laws and policies. Political stability is required for the implementation of programs so that these are not discontinued due to lack of commitment and political will from the government. Nepal has always been progressive on committing to various different policies, plans, and strategies, but implementation is challenging due to socio-political, cultural, governmental, geographic, and economic barriers. This is more obvious at the district level, where education and awareness on new policies, programs, and strategies are absent. Additionally, there is often inadequate infrastructure and ineffective lines of responsibility to coordinate among governmental organizations and between agencies. Note reference, 44. In some cases, where implementation plans are in place, monitoring and evaluation mechanisms are not. Financing for SRHR. The Nepali government has reduced its budget for health, prioritizing infrastructure more. For the fiscal year of 2017 over 2018, only MPR 31.78 billion $30,862,288.94 has been allocated to health from a total estimated budget of MPR 1.278 trillion $12,410,951,940. This is a reduction of 13.32%. Note reference, 45. From the last fiscal year of 2016 over 2017, when NPR 36.66 billion $35,601,369.18 was allocated. This will mean inadequate financial support from the government to address health in general, and SRHR in particular. Adequate allocation of budget is required for SRHR services, education, and information for every terrain in Nepal and for all population groups. In many cases, due to geographical terrains, healthcare services and information are not available, so many women use local remedies instead of considering healthcare. Financing is very essential to the implementation of SDGs, as many strategies and plans have failed in the past due to lack of sustained funding. For example, during the period of the page 7 MDGs, there was a resource gap of NPR 15,001,456,684,500 between years 2011 and 2015 for MDG 3. Note reference 46. With Nepal currently facing economic and environmental vulnerabilities, and with almost 50% of the Nepali health budget coming from international aid. Note reference 47. It will be difficult for Nepal to implement the SDGs without foreign assistance. The National Planning Commission has admitted that Nepal must resort to international financing to meet the resource gap for financing the SDGs. It thus called on developed countries to fully implement their official development assistance commitments, including giving 0.7% of GNISOV to developing countries, of which 0.15 to 0.20% should be provided to LDCs. Note reference 48. Recommendations. To be able to fulfill universal access to SRHR in Nepal for all by 2030, the government should use a holistic, life cycle approach, and invest in rights-based comprehensive sexuality education, as well as universal access to comprehensive, quality sexual and reproductive health services that are available, accessible, and acceptable. These services should include contraception, safe abortion services, maternal health including promotion of regular antenatal check UPS and delivery by skilled birth attendants, and timely referral for management of life-threatening complications and adolescent sexual and reproductive health services. These services should be also accessible even in times of conflicts, disasters, and other emergencies. The government also needs to train healthcare providers in providing counseling and to deliver any services without any prejudice. Additionally, outreach programs and other strategies should be developed to inform and reduce stigma for issues such as abortion, adolescent sexuality, uterine prolapse and obstetric fistula, as well as to foster affirmative views on sexuality. Women and girls should not be prevented from attaining services due to the fear of discrimination and stigma, and a conducive women-centered, youth-friendly environment should be established. Likewise, all policies that already exists and supports women's and young people's SRHR should be implemented, and monitoring mechanisms should be established, and laws such as the Reproductive Health Bill needs to be enacted without delay. To truly leave no one behind, the government needs to focus on garnering disaggregated data and utilize these data to form new strategies to reduce disparities. Only then can the challenges faced by marginalized groups, whether because of age, geographic location, socio-economic status, sexual orientation and gender identities and expression, caste, disabilities, and ethnicity, amongst other categories in accessing services, be addressed. The government also needs to focus on increasing the participation of women and youth, as they are the enforcers in bringing the SDGs into reality. By Sanila Grunk. Program Officer, Beyond Beijing Committee, BBC Nepal. Email, sanila@beyondbeijing.org.